Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Highways InvIT Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, the Chief Executive Officer of the Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Shashri. Good morning, everyone, and I would like to thank all of you for joining us today. At the outset, I would like to wish a belated Happy Diwali to all of you. Hope you all had really had a blast. I welcome you all to the Q2 25 earnings conference call of Bharat Highways InvIT. While we'll be sharing the updates on operational and financial highlights on the InvIT for the September quarter, we'll move on to the Q&A sessions towards the end. As of September 30, 2024, the AUM of Bharat Highways InvIT stood at 6,628 crores, having eight HAM road assets with an average balance of approximately 11.3 years. As of September 30, 2024, the outstanding annuities of the project SPV stood at 6,835 crores, and 49 of the total 240 annuities have been received. As an update on the acquisition of GR Aligarh-Kanpur project from GR Infra Projects, I wish to inform you all that we could complete this acquisition in the September quarter. Your InvIT had entered into share purchase agreement dated September 13, 2024, with GR Infra for acquisition of 100% equity stake in GR Aligarh-Kanpur Highways Private Limited for an equity consideration of 339.5 crores, out of which 98.6 crores was paid towards the equity and 240.9 crores were paid towards assignment of loan to Bharat Highways InvIT. Accordingly, the equity shares of GR Aligarh-Kanpur Highways Private Limited were transferred to the InvIT on September 17, 2024, pursuant to which InvIT obtained control over this new subsidiary. I would also like to mention that InvIT is also exploring acquisition of third-party assets and will keep continuing doing that. We had board meeting of investment managers, which took place on 6th of November. That was the day before yesterday. And I'm very happy to inform that the board of directors had approved a DPU of 2.20 rupees for Q2 FY25. Breakup of 2.20 is as follows: interest is 1.66 per unit, return of capital is 0.19 per unit, dividend is 0.30 per unit, and income from other sources is 0.05 per unit. Income from other sources is nothing but the treasury income which InvIT has earned on its investments. Again, I'm repeating, this 2.20 breakup is 1.66 is interest, return of capital is 0.19, dividend is 0.30, and income from other sources is 0.05. Our cumulative DPU at the end of the second quarter, including the current distribution, stood at 9.20 per unit. I would also briefly update on the sector trend. So I think, as all of you would be aware, that in the road sector, awarding activities of NHAI and MoRTH put together during the first half was comparatively a little muted. However, awarding activity by MoRTH is gradually pacing up, and up to August 24-25, 1,152 kilometers of project have been awarded. We have also witnessed construction of 2,961 kilometers of national highways up to August 24-25. Further, the Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs, chaired by Honorable Prime Minister, had also approved the development of eight national highway corridor projects at a cost of 50,655 crores across the country. Approval of new infra projects, increasing awarding activities, and completion of existing road projects in the country are expected to open the opportunities for channelizing the financial capital in the InvIT space. And anyway, we'll be actively tracking the awarding activities across MoRTH and NHAI. I'll now pass it on to Harshil, who will take you through the financial details before we open up for questions. Thank you once again, and over to you, Harshil.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q2 FY25 performance on a standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was rupees 147.8 crores. As mentioned by Amit earlier, we have completed the acquisition of Aligarh-Kanpur project. So the interest income factors in the interest income generated by for the period post the acquisition. The dividend received during the period from the SPVs was rupees 434.22 crores. The dividend income reflected in the P&L statement was utilized for distribution during last quarter and for acquisition of GR Aligarh Gandhi project. Further, EBITDA for the quarter was 575.84 crores. This was post adjustment for the diminution in value of investment, that is a non-cash entry. The diminution of investment value is on account of difference in the fair value and book value of investment. The reduction in fair value of investments was on account of cash upstream by SPV, which is primarily utilized for acquisition, as I mentioned earlier, for the acquisition of Aligarh Gandhi project and distribution made till date. On the debt side, during the quarter, we had availed external debt of 682 crores at the trust level, which was utilized to repay the existing debt of GR Aligarh Kanpur. The total external borrowing now at the trust level stands at 1179.5 crores, and the interest income on the same during the quarter was 25.05 crores. As additional debt of 682 was availed last week of September, the full impact of the same will start reflecting from the next quarter. The tax outflows is only on the account of other income earned by the trust. On a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations was 156 crores, which primarily included O&M income, finance income on the financial asset, and change of scope income. The increase in revenue from operations is on account of increase in the finance income, which was in last quarter impacted because of the one-off event in Varanasi Sangam project. The other income for the quarter stood at 15.24 crores, and the total income was 171.25 crores. The EBITDA for the period was 134.74 crores on a consolidated basis. In relation to the NDCF at the trust level, the SPV has declared a dividend of 26.75 crores for quarter 2 FY25. And interest income, as I mentioned earlier, was 147.8 crores. Further, SPVs have made a repayment of 16.5 crores, resulting in a total cash upstreaming of 191.1 crores for the quarter two. During this quarter, InvIT had realized the receivables against the invocation of indemnity of Varanasi Sangam, which is getting reflected at the cash surplus in the NDCF slide on the page number 8 of the presentation. Further, the trust earned an treasury income of 4.09 crores. So, post adjustment for finance cost, DESRA reserve and trust level expenses, the NDCF works out to 97.50 crores. As Amit mentioned, the total distribution works out to ₹2.20 per unit, and breakup was provided earlier. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So first question on the DPO. Now, for this quarter, including the interim DPO, we have paid out 3.2 rupees per unit. So, should we consider this as the quarterly run rate going forward, or was it just done? So, how should we sort of look at the quarterly DPUs going forward?
So, Sarvesh, if you see at the time of IPO, at the time of roadshows, while we'll listing within, on course to list our unit, we had given a guidance of 11.5 rupees. Now, if you see, we gave 3 rupees, then we gave 3 rupees. Again, then we gave 1 rupee, and of course that was in basically you can say interim, and this quarter 2.2. So while we put together, come together 9.2, but as a guidance, you can see in form of what we have been giving the earlier quarter, that only remains as a guidance, and our guidance still, we stand to 11.5, which we had given at time of IPO. Of course, we'd want to better that, but the guidance remains the same, 11.5.
Okay, so somewhere between 2.75 to 3 rupees we can expect in the coming quarters.
Yeah, you are happy, means you are happy to do that math. But the guidance remains, yeah, same, what you said. But if you do just addition, deletion, the number, what you are saying, it comes around to that.
Understood. And secondly, I think earlier most of the DPU was being sent in the form of interest and dividend. But in this quarter, around 16% has also come in the form of return of capital and treasury income, which I am guessing is tax-free as of now. So
Right. Is
that proportion also going to be maintained for the future distributions, or this is one-off sort of a thing?
No, so I think maybe Harshil will explain it better, but what I understand is that, look, you can give interest anyway, you know, SPVs has to pay interest to InvIT, right, at whatever rate it's been entered in the loan agreement. So that anyway will remain as a, you can say, one as the substantial way of, you know, income or of DPU, you can say. But of course, the composition is going to be a little bit changed because company law allows you to make a dividend only till the time your net worth is positive, right? So when the moment the net worth becomes negative, of course, you have to resort to return of capital. Treasury income is very less, you see, because treasury is like, you know, whatever the InvIT has, you know, other basically income on the on his investment. So that, again, I don't think that is ever going to be a very, you know, substantial or very high amount. But yeah, return of capital is going to increase going forward. And the major, I think, is going to be, you know, its interest as and the return of capital. Dividend to the extent of, you know, the new SPVs you will keep acquiring the, and to the extent of there will be some surplus at the SPVs level, that will be, say, passed on to InvIT, and maybe that can become as a dividend. Otherwise, predominantly going forward is going to be interest and return of capital.
Okay, and now coming to your acquisition pipeline, so, you know, how is that looking at, and given that you have retained the guidance of the same DPU, do you feel that we will not be able to do a healthy sort of acquisitions that we were earlier targeting through this financial year?
No, I think we are very much on our, basically on track. So we had given a guidance of 2 to 3 incremental asset acquisition for this year. We have already acquired one, and I think we have in the next maybe 5 months or so, whatever the remaining for the year, we look to complete 2 more. That should happen. Of course, you know, the acquisition, there's one. So one moving part is NHA approval. And so you can't be 100% certain to say, give you a complete, you know, final deadline, but or timeline, but I think we are on track to acquire those 2 assets. What we have given, 2 to 3 assets, we have given guidance. It's not that my guidance, that what, again, I'm repeating, that that is the minimum guidance, and we are, you know, we are committed to better that. So if, of course, if we acquire more assets, which will be incremental or yield accretive in nature, of course, there's guidance or maybe the final, you know, DPU will improve.
And I'm guessing that the project IRRs of these acquired assets would be 11.5% or more as well.
Of course, you know, that we had always maintained, and we remain committed that project IRRs will be in the such a range that whatever we acquire will be yield accretive. So if you're given guidance of, as of now, 11.5, and since the interest rates remain same, there's no rate cut and all, I think my project IRR or IRR at which I'm going to acquire will be north of this.
Okay. So that means that given your cost of debt is 8-9%, so you will be able to better your overall IRR for the unit holders by acquiring this.
Yes. The only thing you need to understand also that, you know, basically my cost of debt is lesser, that my project RL, but that only benefits to the extent of leverage I have. So right now, as we speak, our leverage is only around 27%.
Yeah, up to 70% you can go, right?
30% you can go, but that only if you have 6 successful distributions and your InvIT remains AAA. As of now, we don't have 6 successful. With this, we'll be completing 4 only. So, post that, initially you can be only 49%. So,
yeah,
of course, I can say my threshold gets increased. Of course, then that benefit will be more. As of now, we are, whatever our working is, keeping the 49 in mind.
Okay. Yeah. And finally, you know, you mentioned this number from NHAI on the project award, but you know, that has been something which has been sort of been indefinitely sort of, people have been waiting for the awards of the road projects, but we've been seeing very less awarding in general. So if you can just enlighten us as to what is the ground situation like in terms of awarding and why it is getting so much delayed through this financial year, that would be great.
No, so if you see historically now, if you see awarding of NHAI, it has been more towards the second half than the first half. Actually, first half, in the first quarter, you only see the awards which happens, which are like spillover from the last quarter. So historically, if you see, so I think awarding anyway, and one more thing we have to keep in mind, that overall underlying construct, which is like, is also going to change. So you can see maybe more awards towards BOT this year than HAM or EPC. So because of that, you know, it may happen that, and of course, you know, BOT, you have so many new concessions coming on, there are a lot of, you know, new concessions, completely on new concessions coming, a lot of changes in discuss. It was sent to all the, you know, basically relevant stakeholders for their comments and all. So now all those things are done. We expect that awarding of BOT and HAMs to pick up from the December onwards, and it should be in the range of what the guidance given by NHAI. Generally, as a road developer or maybe as a road invit, we are not surprised to see basically, you know, that the first half, of course, this year first half is also a little muted because of elections and all. But now since everything is in place, I think we should see the award to be picked up, say, from 11th, which was saying maybe November, December onwards, and maybe the Q4 you will see the sudden pickup of this.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, so just wanted to understand this better. When you say that you are acquiring assets at about 11.5-12% IRR, you are referring to the equity IRR there, right? Because
that's right. That's,
the one,
right.
That's 30%. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
So the debt is replaced as it is, 70%. On that 30% is where you get that incremental extra return, because we'll be doing 8.1% borrowing, and then that will be deployed at 11.5-12%. So that's where we'll earn the spread.
Yeah, but as of now, Anand, we are not at 70%, right? We are at a lesser. So of course, maybe my while my equity IRR is going to be what we said, it is in the range of 11.5 to 12. But debt exactly is not going to be 70. We'll be reaching debt of 70 once, you know, we'll have say 6 distribution done. Then only we'll be reaching 70.
Got it. So I remember in the first phone call that we had done, you had mentioned that, you know, you aspire to be the best InvIT platform listed in the country. And if I look at your peer who's held in high regard, I mean, for someone who got in at the IPO of 100 rupees is enjoying a payout of about 15 rupees, so that they're enjoying 15% IRR. And they've even informally guided for doing better than that. So is this something that we can also achieve as and when we keep adding assets?
So if you see, we listed at 100 and in the month of March, and currently we are trading in the range of 113-114. And we have also already, say, with this announcement, you know, 9.2, which is a cumulative guidance. So I think now you can do the back math. I don't need to do that calculation. So how much in on an annualized basis IRR, you know, basically what we would have given, right? Including the, if you say the price also. So right now we have already given 9.2. We also listed, came out with the 100 rupees, and now we are at 114. So 14 plus 9.2. So that way our annualized IRR is more than what you would be talking about. But of course, that's the short term. I can't just say that it will be at that level. But we still say that what I said in the first call, I'm again reiterating that we continue to do that, and we remain to, we work towards, we'll of course keep working towards to become one of the highest yield platform so far as InvIT is concerned. You also have to keep in mind that these are all our underlying HAM assets, where we don't have a basically, you know, revenue uptick. So my annuities are fixed. So whatever we need to do, we need to do with, you know, our cost, and then maybe how best we can negotiate the, say, my incremental assets, you know, with the incremental IRRs, so that it becomes really accretive. So we are doing that. I think with each asset acquisition, we can see, you know, we'll keep showing some uptick in our distribution.
Got it. Got it. So one more thing is, we've paid 2.2 for this quarter, and one was paid as interim dividend. But I'm assuming that one was paid out of as an interim dividend because the acquisition cost was slightly lower on account of one annuity coming in. So
Yeah.
from the operating cash flows, we've paid only 2.2 for the quarter, which is slightly lower. If you see your guidance of 11.5-12, from the operating cash flows, we should be doing 2.75 to 3 rupees. So why has there been a slightly lower payout this quarter?
No, so if you see, cash flows are fluid, right? And basically, if I have cash, right, same cash I can utilize to acquire assets so that my yield becomes accretive. Now, same thing we did. So we first set aside 390 crores, which again were from our cash flows only. Out of that, maybe amount we ended up paying for the asset is 340 odd crores. So 44 we distributed. But suppose it would have just 340 crores, then that for that 44 plus whatever we use now would have, you know, we would have paid you, which again would have been 3 or 3.2. So I think guidance-wise, we are ahead. It is just a co-mingling of cash flow. Same cash flow I can use for acquisition, and I've said something remains as a, of course, as per the InvIT regulation, we need to distribute, so which we did. So I rather paid 1 rupee earlier. Maybe I could have kept that, and I could have kept that, you know, that 50, maybe 44 plus whatever we are paying, maybe 1 rupee and 2.2 now. I could have given 3.2, and for which, you know, maybe you'd have said that, yeah, you know, you are on track on guidance. I rather, you know, broke up in two parts. Since we had cash, we thought let's give 1 rupee, because as per the IRR wise, if I'm giving a 1 rupee earlier, maybe my IRR to investors would be better. The balance, whatever we left with the cash flows, we distributed now. So I think we are very much on track. It's just because 1 rupee I paid earlier, it's not that I'm not on the guidance. We should have given 2.753, and we have given 3.2.
Got it, sir. So coming to slide number 8, if I look at the net distributable cash flow chart that you've given, so if you can just refer to that slide. So at the SPV level, there are two payments that are happening. One is SPV debt obligation, and the other is SPV encumbered cash. So one is, you mentioned that there is no debt at the SPV level. So why is there any debt obligation there, and what is this SPV encumbered cash?
Yeah.
I think
So,
yeah, I should. Yeah.
yeah. So Anand, you know, we acquired Aligarh Kanpur, and you know, whatever was the interest accrued till the date of acquisition, that has been paid out from the cash flow. So that's why you see a SPV debt obligation there. Plus, you know, we did the refinancing, as I mentioned earlier, in the last week of September. So there are certain requirements of note dues which we have to obtain from the lenders. So since it was not, you know, the lenders take their time to give that note due certificate, so that's why the DSRA and the major maintenance reserve, which is there in the SPV, was encumbered. So once we have now obtained it, so subsequently it will get released.
Got it. And sir, what is the third last number on that, on this slide? That, because it's not complete. Amount utilized for SPV dot dot dot. So what is that exactly?
Amit mentioned, you know, we had utilized, you know, last quarter 390.5 crores. Out of that, we utilized 340-odd crores towards the consideration. Now, the total debt in the SPV was 745 crores, and we availed the external debt of 682. So the difference between the two numbers, so gross number is 403 and 390.5, so that works out to 12.8. So that number is getting represented there.
Okay. Got it. And sir, you did some kind of refinancing for the new asset that you acquired, and that is also at 8.1% levels.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's correct. All right. I think that was it from my end. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the follow-up, sir. So given the pipeline, you know, by so these four distributions are already done, you know, in the next one quarter or two quarters, we will be done with the six also. So now, by when can we expect to hit 70% leverage, given our pipeline from GR itself?
So 70% leverage actually was the, you know, guideline stipulates that you can have a 70% leverage only when you have, when you would have done six distributions, you remain AAA. And those six distributions, suppose if I do four this year and I do next year, then I can remain, I can go to 70% after the end of financial year of next year. So after the next financial year only I can do. So suppose I, if just for simplicity, if I do the distribution in month, say, in the June or maybe in the month of May and in month of July or August, then I can go up to 70, up to 70% only after the end of next financial year. So we'll see that whether we could finish the sixth distribution this financial year itself, or it goes up to next financial year. But that's not a problem, because if there's a good opportunity comes, I think we can always go in the market, raise, and we can acquire those assets so that it gives us the, you know, the higher rate. So, for example, if I have something which where I can do the discounting of 13%-14%, right? I can always go back in the market, and we can raise, and we can again, you know, we can acquire those assets. So basically, just because, you know, leverage level will not become a constraint for our acquisition, and we have, as of now, we have a decent headroom also, where is within 49 also we can acquire.
So by FY 2026 or 2027, we can reach, right? If not FY 2026, then at least by FY 2027 we can reach.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. And apart from the GR assets, how are we looking at the pipeline? Are we finding, like you mentioned, you know, attractive assets in the market currently?
Yeah. We are basically actively looking at third-party assets also, and we are seeing good traction from those side as well.
But now, you know, there are many other private InvITs also, which are actively acquiring the portfolio of HAM assets, et cetera. So given that competition, you know, are you able to find decent IRRs on the assets which are available from third parties?
Yeah, we are. We are.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up, sir. Sir, just want to understand, has there been any instance of NHAI delaying payments to any, you know, any HAM asset, due to reasons apart from non-maintenance of road? And if they do so, do you get any kind of interest carry on that?
Anant, so as I said on the call, the 49 annuities have been received, and I can very proudly say that till date, all those 49 annuities received on time. not delay. So of course, you know, we haven't encountered any situation where we could get any kind of interest or from NHA. But just to answer to your question, they don't pay any interest even if there's a delay.
Okay. No, I'm not specifically referring to our case, but maybe from the industry, you might be aware of some cases where they've delayed payments apart from reasons not attributable to non-maintenance of roads. So I just wanted to understand from that perspective and how, I mean, how are we covered for that risk?
No, I don't think I would have come across where there would have been delay from authority, where there's a non-compliance from the concessional side and, you know, authority would have delayed and then maybe or there's a delay from authority side and authority would have paid any kind of carry on that. I don't think we would have come across any kind of situation in hand. If there could be any, but I don't think I'm aware of that.
Got it. That's it from mine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask any further questions may please press star and one on their phone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for coming on the call. We'll keep updating you all for any updates which we do. We remain committed to grow this TPO of this unit and looking forward for your cooperation as always. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Bharat Highways InvIT, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.